When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know something? It's a Thursday morning and you're usually seeing my man Dan Orlovsky sitting on the screen with me. He's somewhere right now complaining and whining and moaning because, oh my God, people are questioning Brock Purdy. Oh my God, why are they doing this? He's getting emotional. He's getting emotional. Molly will be there to check him. Kimberly Amar will probably be there to check him. Paul Feinbaum might even be there to check them. But that's just them wanting to engage in extra duty. You know who really is going to check them, right? You know what time it is. First Take in the end.
Well, 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 the news doesn't stop. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to First Take. Thank you for being with us. Stephen A. Smith out on the West Coast handling the NBA duties. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Dan Orlovsky.
Good morning.
Here in studio with me. Kimberly and Martin will be here.
Yeah. Hold on. Dan Orlovsky, yes, why were you late? Why were you late getting to the set?
I was getting done with Get Up.
Excuse me. You've been doing Get Up for years. It didn't take you long all of these years to get to that seat in time. What the hell were you late for? Next time, be on time.
That's on me. All right, yes, sir. That's on me. Yes, that's on me.
I mean, last time I checked, show tipped off and you were ready. Jump ball, let's go.
I'm going to treat him like Luka treated the fan last night.
Wow.
Well, you know what? Luka treated the fan like that because of what was happening to Luka.
All right, and then there's that.
I'm not going there.
See what the Phoenix Suns did to him. That's what I'm saying. But go ahead.
All right, you guys ready to get into some NFL news?
We're ready.
We're ready.
So from go blue to go Bolts, Jim Harbaugh leaves Michigan to be the Chargers head coach. Harbaugh's deal is for 5 years, sources told our Adam Schefter. Here's Schefty with more on Get Up. Adam.
Would have liked Jim Harbaugh to return Greeny, and it had an offer on a table that would have made him the highest paid coach in college football. But Michigan, no matter what it did, could not offer Jim Harbaugh the one thing that he most wanted, and that is the chance to win a Super Bowl. The Chargers could offer that. The Atlanta Falcons could offer that. And the Chargers knew that if they let him out of the building, that there was the possibility that he wouldn't make it back, that Atlanta could hire him. And they put the full court press on, and they kept stepping up to the point yesterday where they made it such that Jim Harbaugh was not going to travel to Atlanta. This gives the Chargers some star power in the Los Angeles market, which is something that they needed. He essentially makes them more relevant than they've been. He brings more excitement.
All right, so Jim Harbaugh has a history of winning no matter where he's coached, most recently leading Michigan to a national title. In his previous NFL stint with the Niners, he went 49-22-1 while winning 29 games at Stanford. And overall, when combining his time in college and the NFL, Harbaugh has won over 72% of his games in his career. I mean, pretty good odds, SA, last time I checked. Tell me this. Is this a good move by Harbaugh to take over for the Chargers?
I think it's a tremendous move. I think it's a tremendous move by the Chargers organization, and I know a few people within that organization, and I made sure they knew from weeks ago that's the move you had damn well better make. If you remember, Molly, I sat right in this seat from Los Angeles, California, in our L.A. studios, okay? And the day that Brandon Staley, the now former head coach for the Chargers, gave up over 60 to the Las Vegas Raiders, I looked at my watch. It was approximately 7:30, and I said by 9:30 he should be gone. He was gone by 9:20, and it was the accurate move to make. It was the right move to make because he damn well deserved it. It's just that simple. Him and GM Tom Telesco, who both couldn't find a way to get things done. You're talking about a franchise in the Los Angeles Chargers, formerly the San Diego Chargers, that have been in four conference championship games in 54 years. That simply can't happen. You have a situation where you're in the second largest market in the United States, Dan Orlovsky, and I know you don't get out to these parts very often.
Nah,
so let me educate you a little bit about it, okay? There's a whole bunch of stuff to do up in here. It's a whole bunch of stuff to do.
Like what?
I mean, you got the Lakers. You got the Rams. You got the Dodgers, okay? You got the L.A. Kings, for crying out loud. Damn it, you got the Clippers. You got the Clippers, who are title
Devils,
contenders, okay?
Rangers.
And that doesn't even get into the social life, the beach, the weather. Molly can speak to that a hell of a lot more than me because she uses that all up when she's
what
out
do
here.
I use?
At the end of the day, here's what it comes down to. You don't think about the Chargers unless the Chargers are going to give you a reason to do so, which they haven't done. You've got people that go to SoFi Stadium simply because it's a beautiful, immaculate stadium. Not to watch them, because they haven't really, really garnered and ingratiated themselves with an audience to generate that interest. And then you look at some of the things here. Justin Herbert is your quarterback. Since his rookie season, the Chargers are 31-36. You know all of this stuff. 4-4 last season. They started out before losing 8 of their last 9 games. You know all of this kind of stuff. This is why Telesco and Brandon Staley are gone. You look at Jim Harbaugh. He's a name. He's a win. He's a national champion now, a reigning defending national champion in San Francisco. Born in Palo Alto. Starred as a coach at Stanford. Goes to the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers. Takes them to 3 NFC championship games in the Super Bowl in 4 years. You take all of that thing, all of that stuff into account. You combine that with the fact that you remain out here out west, but still in the same state. You couple that with the fact that Telesco and Staley are gone, and now basically you've got your run of the mill. And we know more than anything, because Greeny's been telling us this for months since he ran into Jim Harbaugh, how much Harbaugh has raved about Justin Herbert. That is the quarterback that he wanted to coach. You have it. He had Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. Now he's got Justin Herbert, who's basically, in terms of yards per game, is second only to Patrick Mahomes, you know, in recent memory. This brother, Justin Herbert's got tremendous potential, and if anybody's going to peel it out of him, it's Jim Harbaugh. This is absolutely, positively the right coach for this job. They did the right thing and very smart by not letting him out of that building.
Yeah, I agree. It's a home run for both Coach Harbaugh and the Los Angeles Chargers and the NFL. Completely agree. Second thing, I am by far East Coast biased. I don't go to the West Coast much, Stephen A. Don't have a giant desire to. I think we have better beaches on the East Coast. We have better food on the East Coast. We got better. You ain't been to the beaches in Florida, apparently. We got better food on the. We got better culture. I like the people a little bit more, if I'm honest.
I thought you was talking about California to Connecticut. I didn't know you meant from there to Florida. My bad,
because
Florida,
the beaches.
East Coast.
Florida.
Rosemary Beach. And
Florida beaches are better, true.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so a couple things. This is why it makes a ton of sense for Harbaugh. One, college football is wildly unique right now, and there's so much attached to college football outside of just coaching. The constant recruiting, the NIL, the transfer portal, that's a lot. Now, are parts of it great? Absolutely. So I completely understand how goes to Michigan, wins, does everything that he had said he wanted to do and accomplish at Michigan, he's done. And if you're not, if you only want to just coach ball, it's college football brings more than just coaching ball. So in regards to that, I understand the desire to leave. You want to go to a team that has a quarterback that can beat Patrick Mahomes. That's just the reality. There's not a lot of teams in the NFL that have quarterbacks that you can unequivocally, like honestly say, hey, if we have a good roster, can we go beat Patrick Mahomes? Justin Herbert is one of them. Justin Herbert now has a coach that gets him into that conversation, that will coach him into that conversation of Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and the Joe Burrows of the world. And for Coach Harbaugh, he goes to a roster that they've got some issues. They're going to have to get younger on the outside, and they got to figure out some salary cap issues. But they got a quarterback that's top five in basically every stat since he's come into the NFL. And here's the difference between like what he's had, Justin Herbert, with the Chargers and what he's going to have. When Jim Harbaugh coaches a football team, number one, they're diverse. They're balanced. They run and throw. Number two, they don't beat themselves. They don't give the ball away. Number three, they take the ball away on defense. He is an old school fundamentals matter the most coach. Herbert has, since he's come into the NFL, he's got like 22 one-possession losses. Some of those are because of bad play. A bunch of those are because bad just decision-making from the totality of the team. He's not going to lose those games anymore because the style of coaching is going to elevate all of that. And you're going to take Herbert, who's become, you know, in some people's eyes, like this great stat quarterback, And not only are you going to continue to have that, you're going to help him win games, which is everybody. That's the way we look at quarterbacks, right? So I think it's brilliant for the organization. I think it's brilliant for Coach Harbaugh. And I think the Chiefs finally have somebody who's an adult at the table in that division. They're on notice. And I think the AFC Conference is on notice. If he goes to the Chargers and fails, it will literally be the first time he goes somewhere and fails. And I think that's why everybody in that conference is now on notice. There is another adult at the table.
Well, I just want to say, I know Paul is here, the great Paul Feinbaum. I just wanted to say here before Paul started, to piggyback, Dan, off of the kind of things you were talking about. Per Over the Cap, the Chargers need to cut nearly about $35 million just to make accentuate your point. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams aren't really guaranteed to be on the roster. Pass rushers, Khalil Mack, obviously, and Joey Bosa. They ain't spring chickens anymore, so you got to take that into consideration as well, along with Austin Eckler. His return appears to be up in question. So there's a lot of changes, a lot of maneuverability that the Chargers need to make, but in the same breath, keep in mind the fact that you've got somebody like Jim Harbaugh coming in, and knowing those changes may very well need to be made may also contribute to the attraction, because he's not stuck with anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, I want to come to you on this. Harbaugh's departure, what impact do you feel that this will have on college football?
I think it's a positive, frankly, and I hate to interrupt the coronation here of a new pope, but let's remember a couple of things about Jim Harbaugh, my friends.
You're hilarious, Paul.
He was at Michigan 9 years.
You are unbelievable.
The first 6 years weren't exactly virtuoso, okay?
True.
He nearly got fired, and he was this close to getting fired. And the last 3 years were brilliant. Everyone agrees with that, and that's why we're celebrating him today, and we should celebrate him. But he's leaving behind a mess. I realize he won the national championship, and that's so easy to celebrate. But there are two separate NCAA investigations ongoing and will be adjudicated. And I think in some ways that's a positive for Michigan, that without him around, they will probably skate much easier in the new modern world of the NCAA. But he was larger than life. And with Nick Saban exiting 2 weeks ago, Jim Harbaugh was the biggest name in the game. So from a marquee value, the sport loses that, especially now that the Big Ten has added the four Pac-12 members. But I think he always wanted to go. He never quite got over, in my estimation, losing the Super Bowl. He said 2 weeks ago in Houston, as you remember, Stephen A., he said, "Now I'm at the big boy table. I'm with my brother. My father won a championship as well." I think that was what drove Jim Harbaugh. But I don't want to take anything away from the last 3 years. Very few coaches. I think it's been several decades since a coach has left college football after winning the national championship. Michigan is going to be okay. Sharon Moore is going to be elevated in a couple of days once they meet the legal requirement. He did a spectacular job on the field. Stephen A., we might not think that his post-game celebration after the first victory was fantastic, but the players like him. And the biggest change for Michigan, they will probably hold on to most of their roster, unlike Alabama, who in the last 2 weeks has seen massive carnage.
Well, let me say this to you. The only disappointment, first of all, there's nothing that you said that was remotely inaccurate in your soliloquy about Jim Harbaugh, because you were absolutely right on point. The only thing that I would say to you, however, is I'm very appalled and upset that you don't like Janet Jackson, that you don't listen to Janet Jackson. What have you done for me lately? That's what I'm talking about right now, Paul. Paul Feinbaum, you might want to go and check out that song. You understand? That's why they ended by Dan. That's why they end the song like, woo, 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 yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Because when you do something well lately, that's what everybody gravitates to. We're talking about the reigning, defending national champion who spent the last 3 years, okay, going to the college football playoffs. Now, granted, they lost in those two college football playoff appearances before finally closing the door, kicking the door down, and winning this year. But three consecutive college football appearances, three
Big Ten titles, and oh, by the way, beat the living hell out of Ohio State so badly, everybody was wondering about the future of Ryan Day. I mean, we want to call him Ryan Knight, as in good night, because you're about to get up out of here because you're getting your behind kicked by the Michigan Wolverines. We all know that when you go to that job, there's two things that they wanted more than anything. Even when we're talking about a national, and tell me I'm lying, Paul, even when you're talking about a national championship, that was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Last time you won a national championship, co-national champions in 1997. We get that. What they wanted more than anything was an elevation and a return of respectability and championship contention, but that was after you beat Ohio State, which obviously he couldn't do when Urban Meyer was there and when Ryan Day first took over. So I look at it from that standpoint, and I say, over the last 3 years, it ain't like it's just this season.
Okay.
He did it over the last 3 years. And I think that that's enough to sit up there and say, okay, it's time for you to leave. We love the fact that you're back in the NFL.
Can I say one thing about that? And it's nothing about what you said about Harbaugh, but Molly, Dan, please indulge me for a second.
Yeah.
I listen. You quoted Janet Jackson, and I'm that's fantastic, Stephen A. But you know what really surprised me after you fawned over Taylor Swift the other morning on Howard Stern. I think every Swiftie in America ought to have an uprising against you for abandoning your girl Taylor, and then you praised her on your podcast. You're so happy for her.
Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
He knows that she's like the biggest deal out there.
He's teetered back and forth a little bit.
How is it on that bandwagon? Giddy up.
Molly, here's the deal. There we go. Molly, here's the deal, though. The deal, because I can't have a soliloquy on national television where Paul Feinbaum is getting on me about Taylor Swift. I can't
Paul
let that slide, okay?
Because
my man Jay-Z's watching. I can't have this. Everyone knows I'm Beehive Beyonce all day, every day. Nobody comes before her. Nobody comes before her.
All I'm trying to say.
Once you saw Taylor Swift,
why you always interrupting me, Molly? See, you do that on purpose so people can't hear my point and they can sit up and gloss over it. I'm Beehive all day, every day, and on top of it, but it's just that Taylor Swift concert, Paul Feinbaum, it was off the chain. It was off the chain. I got to give credit where credit is due. I'm Beehive all day, every day. But being called the Swiftie is not a bad consolation prize. Taylor Swift is that girl.
Can I speak really quick, Paul? Because I just had a vision. You know, I was just picturing Stephen A. at the Michigan game, right, when he's high-fiving Derek Jeter and MJ. Can't you see it now? Him at the Super Bowl, chest bumps and handshakes with Taylor Swift.
Oh my God.
All over it.
Doing this tour.
Patrick Mahomes' wife, Stephen A., Taylor Swift, all up in the box.
Once again, Molly is inaccurate. I was not high-fiving Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan. I was actually hanging in the suite. There's a difference. I was chilling in the suite, but I'm just saying. Correction.
Yeah.
Sorry. I had a seat.
You're such a brown noser.
I had a seat. Well, you know what? It ain't brown nosing when you wanted them. Michael Jordan, basketball. Derek Jeter, baseball.
I gotta go.
Stephen A., media. Works.
You did that.
Molly Karam in charge of the show.
Can we clarify one thing from Feinbaum, though, in all seriousness?
Yeah.
He was at Michigan 9 years. He won 10 or more games, 6 of those seasons. One of the seasons was COVID that he didn't. One of the seasons he won 9, and one of the seasons he won 8. So to sit there and say the first 6 years weren't hunky-dory, there was a lot of really, very good
stuff. His job was in question, though. We were talking about storylines. Was it a mistake?
That is true.
Yes, because of expectations. But let's not, intimate that there wasn't.
I'll get on you about that later.
Okay.
I'll get on you about that later. I got to get you about that later.
Paul, you got the last word here, and then I got to roll. Paul, take it away.
No, I don't even remember what the subject was because we're all in Stephen A.'s world, and Stephen A. That did not win with me. I know you're trying to suck up to Jay-Z and all your other friends, and I'm sure you were probably at Jeff Bezos's party the other night with Goodell and Bob Iger and all the beautiful people. I'm sure. But I remember when you were just a fledgling sports writer and you would respond to a young guy like me trying to get some advice. And now you're long gone.
Paul Feinbaum, last point because we got to move on. Today, ABC
General Hospital, Brick returns today and tomorrow.
Honestly,
I'll be on, okay. on General Hospital.
I don't get paid enough.
He's literally getting a shot at him.
Wait, I have a question. Hold on. Before I move on.
I'm actually on General Hospital today and tomorrow.
Before I move on, really quick, because I love when you do this, my podcast, The Stephen A. Smith Show, like, I just want to make sure we get a mention of that.
Like,
we didn't know it's The Stephen A. Smith Show. We thought that was someone else's podcast.
What time is the show on today?
Go
what time
sit is the down show on today? Somewhere.
2 o'clock in California, 3 o'clock in New York City, but 2 to 3 o'clock. He said, just
did
check
you get
your local
listings. ABC. Are you still a mobster?
No. I'm still a mobster, but the love scene is coming.
Oh, is there a kiss?
Oh gosh.
Come on now, take
all
notes, Dan.
Let's
take
go.
Notes.
Hey, Paul, you're the best. Thanks for making me laugh.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs head to Baltimore to take on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. The Ravens' potential two-time MVP will try to make his first trip to the Super Bowl, while Mahomes is going for his fourth appearance, and it's all respect.
I don't like competing against him at all. he's a great quarterback. Definitely a Hall of Famer. It's a no-brainer. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. But I believe it's just two greats, up-and-coming greats, just going toe-to-toe. You know, like a heavyweight fight.
He's going to be the MVP for a reason. I knew we were going to play in a lot of games like this as our career's gone on, and I'm sure this will be the first of many.
Well. Look at you looking all angelic, about 25 years old. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi. Great to see you. Okay, who do I want to start with right now?
What's the face? Fix your face.
He's
we're doing TV. You are on one.
On
Don't
today.
Come this way with
he's
that. Don't do
today.
It.
I don't even
Kimberly
know what...
Let the lady start first. Kimberly is sitting in a very important chair this morning.
Oh, gosh.
The outfit is beautiful. I just sincerely hope those aren't sneakers that you're wearing with it.
Those
but we'll talk about that
Jordan
another day.
Yep.
Just go ahead and let Kimberly go first. Let's go ahead.
Okay. More revolutionary quarterback. Is it Mahomes or Lamar?
This is tough. I'm going to say Lamar because of how the fact that when he came, before he even stepped foot on an NFL field, the man was told, you shouldn't even be in this position. You should be a running back. Why wouldn't Lamar? I remember standing at the combine in front of him at the podium, and people were literally asking him, do you think you'd be better off as a running back? And I think when you watch Lamar, every step of his journey, despite being on the precipice of winning a second MVP, The doubts about him, the criticisms, anonymous sources saying, oh, people have figured out Lamar, defenses have figured him out, and I'm still waiting to see what exactly it is that they've figured out. I think Lamar is just He's a different cat, and I understand Patrick is special, and he could go down as one of the greatest of all time. But when I think of Lamar's journey and what the expectation of his was, despite Heisman Trophy winner, but despite all of that, coming into the NFL and people still thinking he's not good enough, and now kids watching Lamar, you know, watching how he plays, understanding that I don't have to necessarily fit the mold. I could be different. I think Lamar is revolutionary from the standpoint of not just on a football field, but what he means beyond the game and within the city of Baltimore and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows where I stand in relation to, like, the importance for Lamar. I talked about that last week and how he's very aware. The answer is Patrick. Couple reasons. Patrick has gotten us to, like, take great quarterbacks and be like, man, are they good enough? Because this past weekend's game, the AFC Championship game, Josh Allen plays remarkable. And a lot of the conversation this week is like, you know, did he do enough? Is he good enough? Can he actually win when it matters the most? And 0-3 versus Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes is that good. I say this all the time. I blame him for so much of the stuff that happens in the NFL nowadays. You know, again, we have conversations about remarkable quarterbacks that have some of the best performances that we've seen, and certainly in recent memory, and go, I don't know if this guy is good enough because he can't be Patrick Mahomes. We're having a conversation. We just watched 2 years ago Tom Brady win his last Super Bowl, and it's the greatest, like, quarterback run ever. And I don't even know if it's close when it comes to career accomplishment. And we already are saying, well, this guy might be better. And we have, he's one of those quarterbacks that we sit there and say defies logic. He does things you should not do. I'll go back to when he was early in his career and throwing the ball across the field to Tyreek Hill versus the Baltimore Ravens. Every quarterback that does that, you always get taught, don't do that. And I was like, well, maybe, dude, if you know anybody that has a young son that's very talented, you're taking them to quarterback trainers, and quarterback trainers now are completely training guys differently because of Patrick Mahomes. They're training guys to make those athletic, funny body, off-balance, ridiculous throws because of Patrick Mahomes. We blame quarterbacks that aren't good enough because of Patrick Mahomes. Think about some of the guys that got drafted since him. Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Anthony Richardson. These guys, while are remarkably talented, they're getting drafted because everyone has to ask the question, or at least drafted where they are. If we got to play Patrick Mahomes at 15, are we good enough at quarterback? And more often than not, the answer is like, the only chance we have is if we have a freakazoid like that. Now, Lamar is not far off from that, of course. But Patrick's revolutionized so much of, like, the conversation around quarterback play.
Well, to me, the answer here is Patrick Mahomes. And before I go any further, let me put this in its proper perspective. When you bring up Patrick Mahomes, Dio, it enticed me to go back and look at the 2017 NFL draft. Okay. When Patrick Mahomes was taken 10th.
Yeah.
Now, the only other quarterback in that draft who was drafted before him was Mitchell Trubisky.
Right.
By the Chicago Bears. Who, by the way, moved up in the draft, bypassed Deshaun Watson, who was taken 12th, bypassed Patrick Mahomes, who was taken 10th, to draft Mitchell Trubisky. You want to know how bad of a decision that is? The GM at that time was Ryan Pace. Remember, right? Am I right, Kimberly? It was Ryan Pace, right? That damn decision was so bad, that's probably what held up the Chicago Bears giving the GM duty presently to Ryan Poles because his first name was Ryan. They said, we don't want that kind of mistake again. That's how bad that damn decision was, okay? They were holding the fact that his first name was against him. It was a delayed reaction because, my God, when we think about Ryan, we think about the stupidity of making that damn decision. That's how bad that was, okay? We knew that years ago. That's why I bring that up. It's one thing if we looked at Patrick Mahomes now, and we said stuff like this. First player in NFL history to win two Super Bowls and two league MVPs in his first six seasons. Okay? AFC Championship games, he's 3-2 with 303 passing yards, 14th average, by the way, 14 touchdown passes, two interceptions. You're talking about this guy, Mahomes, first quarterback in NFL history with zero turnovers and zero times sacked in three straight games. This is what this brother does. This is what he brings to the table. And when you look at the level of greatness that he has exercised, a 13-3 record in the postseason since he's arrived on the scene, averaging 285 passing yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, a 106 passer rating. And we see no-look passes. We see across-the-field passes. We see him scampering down sidelines and running whenever he has to. We see the poise under pressure. It doesn't matter. He seems unflappable. He seems unshakable. By the way, one more stat. Mahomes' career, 39-11 road record, including the playoffs, is the best in NFL history with a minimum of 50 road starts. Joe Montana ranks second on that list. Tom Brady ranks fourth on that list. I get the fact that Lamar Jackson is all world, Kimberly. He's mercurial. He's sensational. He's a former league MVP. He's got my vote to win the MVP again this year. I'm rooting for him to win the Super Bowl championship. I actually, as much as I love me some Patrick Mahomes, I actually would love to see Lamar Jackson win. He is sensational and mercurial, and major props to him for doing this after he got the bag. After he got the bag, he showed up and showed you that he was worthy of it. But when you look at what Mahomes has done, and it ain't just the eye test, but statistically, the eye test is backed up with one nugget of profound fact after another, after another, after another. There is no question that when we talk about revolutionary, we have to say Mahomes, because we may not have seen a Lamar Jackson before in terms of his ability to run the football the way that he has, even though the RG3s and Michael Vicks and others could run with the football. But let me tell you something. I've seen plenty of quarterbacks that can throw that damn football and made noise and win championships. And still, we looking at Patrick Mahomes in year six and saying, possible GOAT. That's revolutionary.
I get you. I would just remind you, Stephen A., I loved all your points. I would just remind you that perhaps no draft, when you look at the quarterbacks that were taken ahead of somebody, was arguably more disappointing than 2018, when you had Baker going one, you had Sam Darnold, you had Josh Rosen. Grace.
That's right.
Josh Allen was taken. But to the Baltimore Ravens' credit, Ozzie Newsome trading back into the first round to get Lamar. And credit to Patrick Mahomes having Andy Reid, wonderful system, you know, their GM over there building up a team. But Lamar has had to do a lot more, my friend, with a lot less when you look at the roster construction. So, and I wouldn't just lump him in with, you know, we've seen quarterbacks that can run the ball. I think that's a little disrespectful.
Quick nugget, quick point, Dan, before I go back to you. I get the part about Lamar Jackson spending years doing more with less. Yet, Patrick Mahomes has had less this year, and he's right back where Lamar Jackson is in the AFC Championship game. So he's also somebody that's been
not,
doing
that's
more
point,
with less.
That's not a good point. Stop.
That one doesn't fly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lamar had a better season this year, though, than Patrick.
I agree with that.
Like MVP.
I'm saying he's right here in the AFC Championship game again.
Again.
That's what I said. I didn't say that he had a better season.
Not your greatest point, Steven. It's fine. It's fine.
Refocus. Refocus.
Get it. I know. You're a little off. I get it.
All right. So
I'm General Hospital today. Don't miss it, Kimberly. General Hospital.
3 o'clock East Coast, right? 3 o'clock East Coast.
Shoot.
3 o'clock. I got to fold laundry. So another couple things or big nugget for me is I think when Patrick got with Andy Reid, he revolutionized offensive play calling in the NFL as well. You know, Andy Reid, who's always been like this innovative and creative play caller, went to a new level when he got Patrick. I often say, like, there's these groups of plays that are called gadget plays that every coach has, and they only call them when they're up 21 points in the fourth quarter, because if it doesn't work, then you're not going to lose the game. Andy Reid had such this unique talent in Patrick where he took all these crazy, unique, like, different gadget plays. Like, you know what, I'm just going to call them on first down in the first quarter. And that, for me, was like the first time I've seen a quarterback have that type of impact on a play caller. Stephen A., I do, and like Kimberly and Molly asked the question, I do think Michael Vick and Dan Marino matter in these conversations, though. Michael Vick is still, we got to give credit to Michael Vick. He's still arguably the most electric player that we've seen at that position in the NFL. Maybe, like, Lamar's obviously in that conversation, and for some people, he may have overtaken him. Michael was sick. Dan Marino, how old are you? 45, Stephen A.?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 56, bro.
You're 56?
Look at you trying to get these brownie points,
good?
Dan.
Don't I look good?
No wonder you on General Hospital at 3 o'clock today.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. No wonder you are. That's on me.
Well, actually, I've been watching General Hospital since I was 8, but go ahead.
What is happening right now?
Here's my point. You look great for 56.
Oh, Daniel.
He does.
Oh, he does.
I look great for 46, but go ahead. I hear what you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
I appreciate it.
Just as far as a thrower of the ball, just pure, Dan Marino, Patrick Mahomes, for you.
Dan Marino or Patrick Mahomes? I would tell you Dan Marino.
Really? You think just pure thrower of the ball?
I gotta tell you. Go back. Listen, man. Patrick Mahomes is sensational. Don't get me wrong. Dan Marino obviously is not Patrick Mahomes, but Dan Marino couldn't move. He couldn't move. Stood in the pocket. This brother under duress. Mark Super Duper, Mark Clayton, the passes that this man threw over the years. Dan Marino, I can't sit here and look you in the face and say to you, just purely throwing. We ain't talking about overall quarterback position, but just truly, just purely throwing the football. That somebody was better than Dan Marino at that.
See, because Patrick's the best thrower that I've ever seen, and I love Marino. I loved Marino as a kid, but I didn't see him like as far as when I got older in the heart. So Patrick's best thrower of the football I've ever seen in my life.
Mm. Okay. Go back and watch some Dan Marino throws, bro.
He was the most talented ever for a while. Now no one ever mentions him.
No, I've still one of the most talented throwers of the football ever. Aaron will always be that.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick is more talented.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
just dumb throws.
Yeah. All right, we got to go.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Welcome back to this fine program called First Take. The Eagles started the season 10-1 and then dropped six of their last seven after the Bucs knocked them out in the wild card round. All eyes were on the coaching staff. Both the OC and DC were fired, but the Eagles retained their head coach, Nick Sirianni, yesterday. He was asked about his role with his new coordinators. Here's what Sirianni had to say.
Could be this very similar to what's going on right now. You know, if that mean I'll sit more into defensive meetings at times, maybe, right? Instead of always being in an offensive meeting, maybe I go to a defensive meeting here and there. But my job is to be the head coach of the team, not the head coach of the offense, not the head coach of the defense, not the head coach of the special teams, but be the head coach of the football team. And so that's building the culture.
The most important thing we got to do is we got to have a vision for how we want it to look. You got to make sure that you're not overreacting to a result that, you know, maybe just kind of was an aberration in the moment. And then you got to look at, maybe is the process right?
All right. Sirianni also said in the presser he's hungry to prove himself to Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie and to Philly. Always hungry, never thirsty, Kimberly A. Martin. Do you feel better or worse? I mean, it's facts, right? Do you feel better or worse about the Eagles now?
Who, me?
No, Kimberly A. Martin.
No, the person in your chair. Yeah. I actually feel worse listening to the Sirianni quotes because it almost reminded me of Mike McCarthy's presser where he was pretty much like, we have a championship culture here. And it was like, since when? Yeah. And it's like, just believe in us.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, actually, you have a wild card round culture.
Okay. Yeah. Why? I think when I watched Sirianni, there weren't a lot of answers. And the biggest question was, what happened over the final 2 months of the season? Why did a team that was 10-1 suddenly, it looked like they just disintegrated. And it's not that they didn't play hard, but you just waited for the Eagles to sort of right the ship, and it never happened. And when Sirianni says in his presser, the offense just got stale, bro, this is your offense. How does it get stale?
She said, bruh.
Like, this is supposed to be your baby. And now I'll take you back before the season started. Sirianni was quoted as saying, listen, this is my offense. I'm very involved. It doesn't matter if Howie Roseman's calling this offense. It doesn't matter if Kevin Petula's calling this offense, Brian Johnson. Like, I'm very involved and this is my offense. Well, what happened to your offense that you say, sir, got stale? Also, he essentially was asked in the presser, what is it that you do here? Because we saw the issues on defense, and then we saw the issues on offense, and he talks about the need to get coordinators on both sides that can sort of infuse what we're used to seeing from the Eagles. The fact that the head coach was essentially asked, tell us again what your responsibilities will be, being that you're placing so much on your coordinators. Listen, before the season started, everybody talked about, you know what, the Eagles, they're gonna be good. Yeah, okay, yeah, they lost their two coordinators, but, you know, Nick Sirianni, he's got this. It really doesn't matter. Well, clearly it did matter, and it happened under Sirianni's watch, and Sirianni didn't provide specifics on why it fell apart and how he can reprove himself. All he talked about was the importance of the coordinators he's got to hire.
Well, I must confess, Kimberly, I'm kind of disappointed in your answer.
I must confess.
Don't sing. Don't dance. Don't sing. Stop. Here's the deal. Kimberly, I'm disappointed in your answer because you're a big time journalist.
That is true.
You care about truth. So why have a problem with the truth? Clearly, the man didn't know what the hell he was doing this year. Once
so
he
why
lost his coordinators,
should I feel confident about what they're going to do?
Because now that that's been exposed. I love the fact that the reporters were up there going like this. Exactly what it is that you do. Could you tell us, please? Could you tell us? Because we don't know. Steichen gone. You know, he becomes the head coach of the Colts. All right. Suddenly your offense goes kaput. Defensively, Jonathan Gannon's gone. He goes to Arizona. Defensively, y'all fade. Even your pass rush faded as the season waned after that 10-1 start. You've got age everywhere. Some attrition. Your secondary softer. Bodies need to be replaced. We know what you were when you had your coordinators. And we've seen what you are when they were gone. And I love the fact that Sirianni brought up Jeffrey Lurie.
Now, you like to sit up there and you don't hesitate. You know, you got to go to Detroit. You'll let us know. You got to go to Detroit. You in Baltimore? You got to go to Baltimore. Well, I was in Philly for 17 years. I kind of know Jeffrey Lurie a little bit. You understand? We go back a long ways. And let me tell you something right now. When those camera shots showed, and this is why, and let me say this to y'all. This is the difference, Dan Orlovsky, between a team like the Eagles and a team like the Cowboys. Cowboys are getting blitzed. Jerry Jones. And that's all you got. Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles, they're losing, and the camera goes, and the wife is right next to him, and he's like this. Because that's what winners are like. When they quiet down, they get silent, and it's like they're lurking, they're coming. That's why Sirianni brought his name up. You notice, look at the departure. So you got the coordinators that left after last season, right? Since they lost. Ben Johnson, gone. Desai, gone. Senior defensive assistant and play caller, Matt Patricia, gone. Sirianni knows they ain't playing. His job is on the line. Yeah. That's what I heard yesterday, and I don't mind.
So that's why you feel better about the Eagles?
Okay. Yes. Accountability.
Okay.
Accountability. Yeah. Go ahead,
Can
Dan.
Can you do the Stephen A again? Hey. I just need to see it one more time.
I do the Monica McNutt.
They sign it. Sign it like the G in lasagna.
You wasting your time not answering the question, D.O.
Yeah,
we got let's roll.
I feel better about it, 50% better, because they're going to get Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator.
Yes. Yeah.
Vic is really good. They got to get more personnel in the back. Vic, what are you making that face for?
I would have liked to have seen a better job from Vic Fangio of Miami. That's why I'm making that face.
Bro, they were like one of the best defenses in football.
Stop. Yeah, it didn't look like that the last several weeks. Not to me. No.
Everyone got hurt.
No.
I want to see who the offensive coordinator is before sitting here going, no questions asked, feel a lot better. Eric Bieniemy, Liam Cohen, Jared Johnson, T. Martin, somebody's got to go there that we could, like, get reinvigorated with offensive-wise.
When that happens, I'll feel better.
Yeah, yes. I wish I cared, but I only care about the New York.
We know, girl.
I didn't get the joke with that. What were we talking
Molly,
about?
Molly, you said
winners
get
silent, and I said, like,
Dan looks like he's wearing
it. Oh, that was pretty good.
Isn't that from a rap song?
I don't
know. Dan, we got to go to Bumps.
The G is silent in lasagna. I like that. That was good.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.